Okay, it's not complicated. I love that ad. So this is the session about Windows Server 2012, deployment, ongoing management, why Server Core is right for you. I wanted to start out by telling you that even though this is a level 300 session, conceptually what we're going to be talking about is not complicated at all. Okay, so I want you to be able to leave here thinking, okay, I get it. I get what Server Core is about. I get what some of these other features which we're going to talk about are about. It's not complicated. And this really makes sense to me. Okay, so you can go back to your work and hopefully deploy Windows Server 2012. My name is Ian Lucas. I'm a Principal Program Manager in Windows Server Manageability Team, and I'm really excited about going through this stuff with you today. The other thing I love about that ad is just the certainty that those kids have about which is better, more or less. You know, it's got to be more. It's just so certain from the mouth of babes. I wonder if you've seen this before. I've seen it around on a couple of T-shirts occasionally. Does anyone know what this means? Anyone translator? Yeah. Less is more. What we're going to be talking about today is a nuanced version of the more is more version, which is, you know, sometimes less actually gets you to a place where you're getting more value for your money. And really, that's the theme which you're going to see throughout the session today, and we're going to keep coming back to that through a variety of things. And that's really the message behind Server Core. Okay, so this is our agenda today. We're going to talk about Server Core. We're going to talk about why it makes sense to move to Server Core and how to go do that. So I'm going to walk you through how to move to Server Core. We're going to talk about a set of new features called Features on Demand. I don't know if anyone here has seen any of these features, but I'm going to talk you through what the new features are, why it's important. I think that that'll become blindingly obvious to you as we walk through it, why this makes sense. And I'm going to show you how to leverage it inside of your environments. And then finally, we're going to talk a little bit about Server Manager and remote management in general. As we talk about Server Core, I know that one of the big concerns that people have is, well, how am I going to manage it? Because you're going to take away a lot of my normal management experience off the box. So remote management becomes increasingly important in that environment. We're going to talk you through some of the stuff in the new Server Manager 2012. And in particular, I'm not going to talk about Server Manager sort of at a high level. I'm assuming that most people have seen Server Manager being shown at different points in different demos. But I do want to dive in under the covers a little bit and show you some of the ways you can customize Server Manager to get the most out of it in your environment as you manage your, hopefully, Server Core environments. Okay? So that's our agenda. So Server Core. We're going to have a couple of quotes throughout this presentation. Most of them are about this less is more sort of stuff. Leonardo here, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. At Microsoft, as we think about server, we really think about Windows Server as being, it should be the thing which it needs to be. It should be, servers are about running the workloads that sit on top of them. And when we think about it in that mind, we think about Server Core because we don't see on-box GUI, graphical shells, being part of what a server is all about. Okay, a server should be about running the workloads which they're supposed to run. Okay, so the graphical shells are in fact not a necessity for a server to be able to do its job. So Server Core is all about getting back to what a server really should be about. So let's talk about Windows Server 2012 configuration levels. The first one here is the classic full server. And in Windows Server 2012, we talk about this as being server with a GUI. Okay, so it's a server, plus we've got the graphical shell on top. It's still there. It's very much what you expect out of previous versions of server. It's still there. You can install a desktop experience pack on top of that if you want to run the server as if it's a client. So you can have all of the nice theming. You can have, you know, media player. You can have all of the modern apps on there if you want. I think that that's really the role of a client. But you can do that on server if that's what you want to do. That's installing an extra pack. But basically, server with the GUI is sort of the version of server which you're used to. Server Core can be thought of as a subset of server with the GUI. Okay, so and coming in, starting in Windows Server 2012, it is actually the default option. So that means when you go and install Windows Server, okay, if you click through the setup routine and you get the list of, you know, what do you want to install, full server, Server Core, it's now the one at the top. It's the one that's highlighted by default. So if you're used to installing and you just click through that, just be aware you're going to get Server Core at the end of that if you're not paying attention. Okay, it's now the default. Why do you want to do server core? Well, the biggest reason for me is that it reduces the attack surface. When we look at patch counts and we go back and compare over sort of a period of maybe a year or 2 years, the set of patches that have come out for Windows Server, and you look at how many of those would have impacted server core or be needed for server core installations compared to the full server installations, it's actually very a small amount. Okay, so 80% plus of all of the patches you do on your servers would not apply to server core installations. That by itself is incredible value. Why? Because most of those patches also require reboots. Okay, so if you want to reduce the number of reboots you have in your environment, server core is what you want to do. Second thing, as we moved into higher virtualized worlds, the ability to get the most out of your systems, increasing your VM density, becomes really important. Okay, so size matters in this environment. So server core starts to remove the stuff you don't need so you can increase your VM density in your environment. When I talk to people about their challenges moving to server core, I usually hear sort of three things maybe. The first is, wow, I'm really concerned about how I manage a server core because I don't have the experiences which I'm used to. I don't have the ability to remote to the server and run all of my tools which I'm used to running to be able to manage that environment. Okay? So remote management for server core becomes very important. I want to make sure that I have parity there. Some people say, wow, I don't want to move to server core because I have to use PowerShell to be able to manage that box. That's not true. We have remote server administration tools kits which are shipped as part of Windows Server, actually as a noob, that comes out at the same time as Windows Server, which give you all of your graphical management tools to be able to manage that server remotely. PowerShell is on server core box, and PowerShell in Windows Server 2012 has a much, much larger set of commandlets, and in fact, the entire surface area pretty much can be managed through PowerShell now. Okay, so it's very powerful through PowerShell, powerful through PowerShell. And in fact, and you don't have to go on the box to do that, by the way. You can manage that remotely through PowerShell using PowerShell Remoting, which came in PowerShell V2. Okay, so the remote management story for server core is actually really strong. Second thing I hear is, well, the roles and features which I want to run aren't supported on server core. Okay, that was true. In 2008 R2, the set of roles and features that ship in box to run on server core were actually not the full set. In Windows Server 2012, pretty much all of them are supported. Okay? You don't need full server to run most of the roles and features. In fact, the only role that requires full server is the fax server role in Server 2012. Okay? So the increase, we've got much, much better support for the inbox roles and features on 2012. However, the most frequent reason people can't move to server core has been this. If you've tried to install server core before, you will know in Server 2008 R2 that when you go through the setup process, you have a choice. You can install server core, you can install full server. Once you make that choice, you're pretty much married to it, okay? Once you make that choice, if you go server core, you're stuck on server core. If you want to change and you change your mind and move back to full server, you have to uninstall, you have to reinstall from scratch, pretty much. Windows Server 2012, we fixed that, okay? So this is the most important feature in my mind for server core in 2012, the ability to move seamlessly from server core to full server and back again. It's really, really simple. It's as simple as installing two features or uninstalling two features, okay? And all of that can be done really seamlessly. It requires a restart, but other than that, you can move between those configuration levels really, really easily. What that means is you can install your server with the GUI. You can get it all up to the running the way you want to do. And then you can convert it down to Windows Server Core and take advantage of all those great value points. Okay? So let's have a look at how you do that. Oh, the difference here between these two, by the way, is about 4 gig. So that's pretty significant. Okay. So Server Manager. So you know that you go to Server Manager to install and uninstall Windows roles and features. So here we are in Server Manager. We're in the Remove Role and Feature Wizard. And you'll see that this is running on a full server, by the way. There's two features here which we need to uninstall to take this full server with the GUI, down to server core. Okay, there's a new set of features called user interfaces and infrastructure, And you'll see there's two features there, graphical management tools and infrastructure and server graphical shell. If you remove those two features from the server with the GUI, it will become server core. At the PowerShell layer, in 2012, we provided a new set of PowerShell commandlets for adding and removing features. So it's really as simple as this. Uninstall Windows feature, server GUI management infrastructure, server GUI shell. They're the two features. You can put them both on the same line with a restart. Question quickly? We're going to talk more about that throughout the session. So, yeah, we'll come back to that. Is that okay? You can do the same thing using DISM. It's a good question. You can. I would encourage you to use the PowerShell commandlets, and this is why. The dependency walking, when you go through the PowerShell commandlets, which, we wrote some new SIM providers, which provide this functionality in 2012. And those SIM providers actually do a lot of the dependency walking for you to make sure you get the right stuff off as part of that. And I know that there's a little bit of inconsistency between these commandlets and DISM. These ones are the better ones to use. So I'd encourage you to use this. And they got, okay, so the gentleman is saying that he used both methods and he had better success with the DISM? Okay. Okay, so during the tap, certainly I've been using these for the RTM versions, and it works really well. Okay, I'm going to hold the questions because we've got a lot to go through. I want to talk about something else here. So Mr. Einstein said everything should be as simple as possible, but no simpler. Okay, and a few of you might be sort of saying, "Wow, I'm not sure that server core yet is not too simple for me." Maybe I want to take it a little bit easier, and you know, where I am right now in the way I manage my environment, it might be actually too simple to go to server core. I want to sort of hold back a little bit. That's what minimal server interface is about. So basically, as well as server core, server with a GUI, we added a halfway step. Okay? Now, we still retain the ability to move seamlessly between all three of these configuration levels. Okay? But we've got this new one called minimal server interface. Effectively, minimal server interface, you keep all of the value around the reduced attack surface, or the majority of it. Okay, so it's really useful if you're trying to get rid of all those reboots in your servicing model to be able to come down to minimal server interface. The way to think about this, well, there's two ways. You can think about it this way, which is, this is server core, but I want to add on all of the management tools which I'm used to using on ServerBox. Okay, so I want to add on my MMC consoles. I want to add on Server Manager. I want to add on my control panel apps. Okay, minimal server interface gives you all of those. The only exception is some of the control panel apps don't work. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The other way to think about minimal server interface is this. You can think about it as server with a GUI minus the stuff which I don't really need there. For example, minus the Explorer shell, and minus IE and all of the associated files and extensions and so forth which they give you. Okay, and these are the components which actually represent a fairly large attack surface when you think about the extensibility model in those components. There's actually a fairly broad surface there. So removing those gives you that reduced attack surface which we're after. So let's have a look at this some more. So the question is, if you're in the min server case, when patches come out, is it considered min and core? We're going to talk about patching in a little bit, so I'll get to a slide on patching and servicing, and we'll talk about them, if that's okay. Okay. Transitioning to and from minimal server interface, so this is just giving a reference point for the actual features which we're talking about here. So the difference between server with a GUI and minimal server interface is the feature called server GUI shell. Okay, so removing that, adding it, will take you either way down that thing. And then the difference between server core and minimal server interface is the feature server GUI management infrastructure. And you can think about that as a feature pack containing all of the management tools. Okay, so I wanted to put all of these here, and you can, of course, do that through Server Manager as well. Just a note here, I'm using the version which is running these commandlets on Box. But these commandlets have a computer name parameter, so you can run these remote and do this remotely. In fact, we'll do that in the demo. Okay, some limitations of minimal server interface. Not all the common dialog boxes are fully functional. Networking is one of the examples of those. Also, UI, any UI which is dependent upon namespace expenses, shell namespace extensions are not going to work because the shell is not there. Okay. Again, networking is an example of this. The good news with networking is that in Windows Server 2012, the networking team spent a lot of time improving their PowerShell coverage. So you can pretty much do everything and probably more than you could do in the old UIs at the PowerShell layer for networking. Okay, so there's a really good coverage there. Because there's no Internet Explorer on the box, any links to IE type content, particularly help links or links off to websites for further information, like TechNet links that were in Server Manager, they're just not going to work. Okay? We didn't do the work to actually make those applications aware that IE isn't there, so the links will still be there and active, but when you click them, it will be a no-op. So I tell you that so you know, and so hopefully you won't file bugs on us when they don't work for you. File associations, protocol handlers are not available. HTTP, file, all those sorts of things. We understand what we're doing. These things should be obvious. I don't know if we have any application developers in the room, but if we do, you need to think about your application, to think about whether you have dependencies on those components which are removed, both for minimal server and also for server core. I would encourage you to use minimal server as a first step test to test your applications. I think what you'll find is it'll work. When we do a lot of our app compat testing, the only real problems we've had have been around installers where they have sort of links off to online content. But once you actually get the thing installed, if you convert down to minimal server, most of those technologies actually run fine on minimal server. So but use the dependency checkers. You know, there's Dumpin and Windows SDK. There's some freeware versions out there. And go and do that work and get your applications working on minimal server so that your customers can take advantage of the values of running on minimal server or server core. Because you can now move back and forth between these configuration levels, you might want to know in your scripting how to go check what the current level currently is. So there's a set of registry keys where you can go do that. I'm not going to talk through them. The link is there. It tells you what they are. It's pretty obvious how those three things work together. Also, if you're a programmer, you can use the WMI class to go check out the same thing. And the thing to know there is the actual IDs of those features. And they're there, 99478 are those two IDs. Okay. And then this is just a quick reference showing you what you get at different configuration levels. Going all the way up to desktop experience, which is where you add the themes and the media player and some of those modern style apps. Okay, so let's have a look at what this looks like. Oh, I have to log in again. Okay, so what I have here are two servers. The one on the left is full server, or server with a GUI. One on the right is server core. We're going to play with these for a little bit in the next couple of demos and have a look at them. So what I'm going to do, let's bring up this guy. What I want to do is show you how to convert this down to minimal server interface. So we're going to use Server Manager to do this. We're running this locally, but we could do this remotely from a client box. I'm going to go into the remove roles and features. So we go down to the feature area. Just going to scroll down, find these features here, user interfaces and infrastructure. And if you remember, the one that will take you down to minimal server would be to remove the server graphical shell, leaving on that other feature, which is the management tools pack, right? So let's just do that. Let's tell it to restart. And let's go on that one. Then let's leave that running in the background and go over and have a look at this server core box. So how many people are not familiar with server core and the experience you get with server core? Okay, so there's a few of you. Okay. It can be a little bit intimidating when you first look at it. Let's just take it full screen. Because all you get is this, right? You get a command prompt. Now the good news is that we can go straight and get PowerShell. Now we've got PowerShell command prompt, so PowerShell is available on Windows Core. We have a question over here. So you get PowerShell is installed by default on Server Core. The question was whether I needed to install anything to get that. So Server Core comes with PowerShell, and then, of course, that requires .NET as well, installed as part of the Server Core image. You can remove them. And a lot of the manageability stuff, for example, all the server manager stuff, works against SIM providers at the back end, so it doesn't actually need PowerShell in the middle. But we installed it by default, so you can have this on-box manageability experience still. Okay, so if you're comfortable with being able to manage completely from remote, you can go remove PowerShell and get the image size down smaller. Okay, so let's just on here, let's do a get Windows features. And here you will see that if we go up here where we have user interfaces and infrastructure, you'll see that those two components are not there. In fact, if we have a look on here and let's just say where install state equals installed, you see that there's actually very little installed on a Server Core instance. Okay, we've really just got a handful of features there. Okay, so Server Core is actually really a very small subset of stuff, just enough to lay the foundation for you to install your roles and run your roles on top. Okay, so of course here we don't have the things which you might want. We don't have Server Manager. Oh, that's going to error out. We don't have MMC consoles. That's going to error out. We do have Task Manager. So there's a couple of sort of UI types of stuff which are available. Task Manager is one of them, which is really useful. You also have Time Date, I believe. And then if we go and have a look at those reg keys, let's see if I can remember this. Software, Microsoft, Windows NT, current version, server. Yeah, I didn't do that very well. I did something wrong here. Okay, but if I went and looked at those reg keys, the reg key will show you that just the Server Core property is there. I'll come back and do that later if I get a chance. Okay, let's go back and have a look at this other thing. Oh, feature not removed. Okay, well, that's a pain. Not sure what happened there. It was working earlier before. Okay, so I'm going to move ahead because we've got lots to get through. But removing that feature, in fact, I might just try and kick it off from the command line quickly. Okay. But you get the idea. No, doesn't like that. Okay, not sure why. Let's go back to the other box. Okay, you get the idea. Just a simple add remover features move you between those versions and then a restart in order to be able to go and do that. It's probably a restart that I forgot to do before, actually. That's probably what's wrong. Okay, let's move on. This guy's an interesting guy. I don't know if you know of this guy. He's a French guy, poet, literary scholar, aristocrat, also a pilot. He flew a lot of stuff during the wars. Crashed many, many times, including once in the Sahara where he survived the crash but almost died of dehydration trying to get out of the Sahara. He's an interesting guy. This quote from him is usually made in the context of design. So as a designer, perfection is achieved when there's nothing more to take away, not when there's nothing more to add. And as we think about Server Core, we're hopefully on a path towards perfection for a server. I don't think we're there yet, but we're on that path. The features on demand takes us another step along that path. So let's see what it is. When you install Server today, you would notice that if you then go back into Server Manager and say, hey, I want to install a role, for example, say I wanted to install AD. When you go install AD, you don't have to go back out and get the install media to be able to install AD on that box, right? And the reason that is because during the setup process for server, the installation process will copy all of the sort of compressed binaries for every single role and feature which ships as part of the inbox and puts it down in what's called the Windows side-by-side store. It's literally just a directory under Windows, WinSXS, which is really hard to say, so I'm going to say Windows side-by-side store throughout this presentation. And they all get put down there, regardless of whether you actually intend to ever use those roles on that box. Okay, so they're taking up a whole bunch of space. So what we did in Windows Server 2012 is we went through DISM and we went through CBS and modified those so that we could actually make them aware of what it would take to remove those images from the side-by-side store so that it sort of did it in a clean and elegant way. Okay, so that's what Features on Demand is about. It's about reclaiming the disk space for all of the binary images for all the roles and features, which you probably, you know, don't need all of them on your server. You probably need some of them. You don't need all of them. So Features on Demand allows you to go and remove those. I told you it wasn't complicated. Simple. There's some articles there on TechNet. There's going to be a whole bunch of references towards the end of the presentation, which you'll be able to have a look at. So how does this work? You can't do this one from Server Manager, okay? So you have to do this one from PowerShell, but it's really, really simple. Using the same command that we used before, uninstall Windows feature, then the feature name which you want to uninstall, you just add a dash remove parameter. And what that'll do is, as part of that deinstallation process, it'll then at the end go clean up and remove those binaries from the side-by-side store. In fact, if the feature is actually already uninstalled, all it will do is go remove the binaries for the side-by-side store for that feature. Okay? Pretty simple. How do you detect if a feature is removed? So if we go into a server and say get Windows features at the PowerShell layer, you'll now see one of three states for each feature. It'll either be installed, it'll be available, which means that the binaries are there on the system, ready to be installed, or it'll show up as removed. Okay, so if it shows up as removed, that means that we've used this remove parameter, believe it or not, to take those binaries out of the side-by-side store. If you do the same thing in DISM with the equivalent DISM command, they'll show up as disabled with payload removed. Okay. If you want to do something really easy and say, well, show me all of the features which aren't installed but so are available and just get all of those off, so reclaim all of those, there's a simple, very simple two-line script to go do that. In fact, it could be one line, but I made it two. Okay. Easy to do in PowerShell. Of course, the question is, what happens if I change my mind? What happens if after removing all of these binaries, I now say, well, actually, I do need this to be a DC or a DHCP server or whatever. How do I go do that? So obviously, you're going to need to be able to point your installer to a set of sources to go get those binaries. So there's a couple of ways we can do this. First of all, if your server is connected to the internet, you can just use Windows Update. It'll go pull down the binaries and you'll be good. You can use the Windows Install Media, the WIM file, and I'm going to show you how to do that. Hopefully, if my demos work. You can actually do other stuff like point to a running server's side-by-side store. That would need to be a server that actually has all of those binaries in the side-by-side store, so not a server where you've removed them all. Or, you, in fact, you can just create a copy of that side-by-side store, put it on a network share, and use that. If you're going to be doing this a lot, and you don't want to be typing in those paths all the time, you can set the location of where you want to go get those sources across your environment. You can set that using GP. Okay? So, and there's the GP setting. So let's look at what it looks like in Server Manager to reinstall roles and features. So here I'm in the Add Roles and Feature Wizard. I've gone down all the way to the confirmation, selected the features which I wanted, and you'll see here that there is a warning message which is saying, hey, do you need to go specify a source path? Because one or more of these features or roles that you're trying to install, I don't have the binaries for them. Okay, that's what it's effectively saying. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to provide a source path. If you're going to be using Windows Update, then you can just, you know, ignore that warning. That's why it's a warning, not an error. But if you need to go point it at a set of side-by-side binaries, then what you want to do is come down here to the bottom and say, I want to specify an alternate source path. That will pull up this dialog, which I think we didn't really pay attention to the less is more idea here. It's fairly verbose, but we wanted to make sure you understood what was happening here. And basically, right down the bottom of here, there's a text box where you can type in the path to the side-by-side store. And I'm going to talk you through sort of what that looks like, what that actually looks like in the next slide. If you're going to do this at PowerShell, again, same command before. Now there's just a dash source parameter, okay? So, and then that's that the parameter value will be the same as the value which we're going to type in that text box. So it's really, really simple to go do this. Okay, so I'm going to take you through two slides here. The first one is going to explain to you sort of some of the stuff, some of the nuances of the WIM, so you understand what's happening behind the scenes. The second slide is going to tell you what you should actually go do, okay? So you can sort of zone out a little bit on the first one if you're not interested in the detail. The WIM, Windows Install Media, what we're going to do is we're going to create a folder and we're going to mount the WIM. But what we need to do is the Windows Install Media actually has multiple images in it. It has the server core image, it has the full server image, and a couple of other ones as well. So what we need to do is figure out what is the index of the server with a GUI image, because that's the one that has all of the stuff that we need. Okay? I can tell you right now that the answer to that is going to be 4. It's 4 in Windows Server 2012. It'll be 4 in Windows Server 2012 R2, I believe, unless something changes. Okay? Then we're going to use DISM to mount that WIM. Just see that we're mounting that onto the mount directory. And then when we get to the PowerShell command, all we're going to do is say, hey, I want to use the source. I'm going to use that mounted WIM. Go to the Windows WinXSXX directory and then use that as the reference. Okay? So it's actually pretty simple, but it can be even simpler. Because we did all the heavy lifting for you, we can use the WIM directly. There we go. You can use it directly from the source parameter, basically. Okay. So the syntax is here. Basically, if you use the WIM colon prefix, then a path to where you've mounted, where you've got the install.wim file, and then colon 4 as the index to go to the full server image, that'll do it for you. Okay, so this is how you go and install Windows features, pointing to a WIM as an external source. Effectively, our SIM providers are going to go do all that mounting for you and take care of it. Okay, a few other notes before we go back to the demo, which hopefully will work. Server core, the image which you install at setup, if you choose server core, it's effectively created by us using the features on demand features. So server core already has, that image already has the sources for the components which are not supported on server core. They've had those removed to reduce the size of the image. Okay, make sense? So what that means is it starts with this minimal footprint, but it also means that if you want to convert that up to server with a GUI or to minimal server interface, you're going to have to go point it at a source file, in which case the command is down at the bottom. Install Windows feature, the two features which will take us up to server with a GUI, restart flag, because you'll need a restart after installing all of that stuff, then a source which is pointing you off to the WIM directly. Someone asked before about servicing. So the side-by-side store, when you bring up a server and you're basically adding new features in, obviously you're going to want to bring those new features up to the latest patch version of that. There's a couple of ways you can do it. By far the easiest is to just, once you install the features, to run Windows Update and update it that way. But there are some ways you can do it on your side-by-side store. There's a really good link to a TechNet article, which is in the resources at the end of the presentation, which will take you through this in more detail. But basically, if you're using a side-by-side store on a running server, if that server is up to date, the Windows side-by-side store will be for those features, but that'll only be for the case of features that are actually installed on that server. Okay, so if you have a server which has every single role and feature that ships as inbox installed on it, and you're keeping that server up to date with Windows Update, I would ask why. You would have a server with everything on it. But you could use that to update, to install updated versions of things from the side-by-side store on that. More likely, you're going to do something like the following. You'll take the WIM file, and you can use some DISM commands to apply individual updates to that image. And again, all of the details of how to go do this are in that TechNet article, but you know, I just wanted you to be aware of what's happening there. One last comment specifically about .NET 3.5. .NET 3.5 is not included in the Server 2012 image. So if you have a need for 3.5, or if you have an application which has a dependency on 3.5, you're going to need to go and install that 3.5 off a set of installation sources. There's a couple of white papers on how to do this, both for client and for server. Encourage you to go read that. If you have an application which has a dependency on 3.5, when you install that application, there's a shim in place which will go and make it very clear what you need to go do in that instance. But just in the back of your mind, be aware 3.5 is a little bit different to what you might be expecting. Okay. So I'm going to switch back to my demo box. And seeing my machines are not in the state that I was expecting them to be in, let me just see if I can save this demo. So I'm just going to restart this guy and see if that was my problem. While that's happening, I'm going to come over here. So this is my full server. What I want to do is kick off an upgrade of this server to a full server using the source thing. And I'm going to do that not from this box. I'm going to go to a client system which has RSAT installed, so therefore has Server Manager. Let's go do it from here. So if you're not familiar with the new add roles and feature wizard in Server Manager, because Server Manager is now multi-machine, as you go through this wizard, it should look pretty similar to what you're used to, but it has this extra screen where you go in and you choose which server you want to do the deployment to. So I'm going to choose my server core. It's going to go out to that box, figure out what roles and features are already installed, so it can give me this list. And I'm going to go straight to the features page. Come down here, install both of these because I want to bring it all the way up to server with a GUI. Click next, and here you'll see that I've got this warning which I was talking about, telling me that I need to go and specify an alternate source path. So let's go down here to the verbose box. In here I'm going to type in, I want to use the Wim. I have the install, I don't know if you can see all of that. So basically this is, I have mounted the install Wim on a share on my client box in this case, :4 to tell it which index to use, which is the full server image inside of the Wim, and it will go off and do this. I'm going to tell it to restart the server when it's done, and let's kick off that install. And hopefully that'll go better than the last one. But that's, I've been doing this all day, and of course it fails during the actual presentation. But that's what should be done here. I'm just going to close that inside of Server Manager. You can track that back up at the top here. You'll see that installation is still going up here. Okay, we can come back to that if we need to. What I want to do instead is we'll just close down here. In a minute, if that goes well, we should see this guy reboot a little bit more than a minute. And what I want to do is take this guy down to minimal. I'm going to try this guy down to minimal server again because I want to show you minimal server interface, which I didn't get to show you last time. Password. Okay, so this is still full server. Know what? I'm going to do this at the command line. So I want to uninstall Windows features. Let's uninstall server GUI shell, which will take us down to minimal server interface. And let's do a remove option. And cross our fingers. And this should actually be fairly quick, so I'll just give that a minute to run. Just while I'm doing that, any questions about minimal server interface, features on demand, anything which I'm just asking? Did I answer your question before about the servicing? I can't remember. Right. Oh, okay. So the question is, if a patch comes out and says that it is a patch for server, full server or server with a GUI, or it comes out and says this is applicable to server core, what about MinServ? How do you know which patches are applicable to MinServ? That's a really good question. I actually don't know the answer to that. I suspect that the management tools which are in that pack, which is really the difference, probably don't get patched that often. Okay, so it might just be that we've never done that to the date. But yeah, I suspect that if you go try that on your minimal server interface, the server core ones obviously will apply. Okay. Sorry, I'm not sure I caught the question. Can you say it again?
Is there any difference as far as clone application or custom build application for React on the GUI version versus the core version?
Okay, so the question is whether how do you know whether an application is going to behave differently on full server versus server core? Is that the right question? Okay. It really depends on the application. If the application has dependencies on the things that aren't on core, then obviously it's not going to run. Other than that, it shouldn't be any different. It all comes down to where the dependencies are. There were a couple of things which I mentioned before, which were, you know, if you have links of the thing which go out to components that don't exist, for example, the HTML help, for example, that you might, you know, might run perfectly well until you actually hit that link. It really depends on how the application is built. No. So on server, so the question was whether you have if you have a shortcut on your desktop to launch that application, what happens with that on server core? Well, the simple answer is there is no desktop. So you have to basically command line launch that application. Okay? Okay. Okay, this said restart. I don't know why it didn't, but that's probably why that didn't work before. This will actually be fairly fast. What I want to do is just show you minimal server interface. And what you're going to see is that minimal server interface looks very much like server core. Because we don't have the Explorer shell on there, there is no desktop. Okay, it comes up and looks very much like server core with just the command line prompt. However, you can start up individual applications which are graphical applications. So we'll be able to start Server Manager, we'll be able to start the control panel apps and so forth. The other thing which I'll do when I bring that up is I'll just show you that those features got removed as part of that process. Okay, so let's just do this quickly. Okay. So we now have minimal server interface. You'll see you have that. Oh, and also auto launch Server Manager for us. So straight away you can see that Server Manager is running. And when you minimize an app, it'll just go down the bottom as if there was a process bar there. Again, you have PowerShell here. And if you remember before, we tried some things like MMC, which didn't work on Server Core, but that's now there. In fact, if we did something a little bit more like computer management, if I spell it right, that will fire up. So you have your full computer management there. Let me just increase the font here for you. Okay, we should be able to see that a little bit better. What else do we have? We have things like SysDM will be there. So there's a bunch of stuff there which are all of the tools which you're used to managing your server with on the server. They're now there because we've installed the management tools pack. Sorry? If the snap-in will work, yeah. Unless the snap-in has a dependency on a shell name extension or something like that, then it'll load. And, you know, the majority of the snap-ins are a native snap-in, so built against Win32 type interfaces. But even if they're the newer MMC3.0 snap-ins, which require .NET and the WinForms stuff, they should load as well. Okay. So the question is about whether there's UAC in the server core. I think you asked that question on the session comments, and I went to try and figure that out because I don't know the answer. I wasn't able to before the session, but I can take that offline and find that answer for you. Does that sound fair? Okay, I'm going to move ahead if I can. Oh, so the question is, are there any changes in the R2 version? No. So I intentionally tried to make sure that this was billed as a Win Server 2012 session, because in this space, we haven't really made any dramatic changes in this in the R2 version. There's a couple of minor, probably performance type changes or bug fixes, but feature-wise, no. What you'll see in Windows Server 2012 R2 is exactly what you're seeing here. It all works the same way. Sorry, I didn't catch that question. Actually, can we hold the question to the end, and if we have time, come back to it? I just want to make sure we keep moving ahead. I'm just keeping an eye on the timer here. One last thing here I want to show you. If we do a get Windows features here. And in fact, in order to do this, I am going to have to increase the buffer size. Do it again. Okay, so over here you'll see the status of all of the features here. So you'll see that there's a mixture of things which are installed, things which are available, i.e. the feature is still in the side-by-side store, and things that have been removed. And if we look at the... Where is it? The one which we just removed, which was the server graphical shell. Let's just put that right at the bottom so you know I'm not cheating. It's in the remove state. So as we uninstalled that feature, it got removed in the binary. And in fact, we could go to this box and now run that two-line script, remove all of them, and it'll offload all of those side-by-side binaries to bring it right down to, for anything that was available, it'll remove those. Okay, I'm going to leave that for now, and I'm going to go back to the deck. Okay. So let's turn our attention a little bit more towards how we then manage this remotely. And we're going to talk about Server Manager a little bit. I felt since we were coming to New Orleans that I would throw in a jazz quote. Miles Davis, I grew up playing brass instruments, so I love jazz, brass, trumpets, all that sort of stuff. Miles Davis is actually quoted a lot, but a lot of his quotes need to be edited to make them family-friendly. This is one of the the more friendly ones. And it actually really makes me think. What he's talking about here is, in jazz, when you have a melody, Miles Davis had this issue, or he took some fellow jazz trumpeters to task, because he basically said, in a melody, there's places between the phrases where there's basically some silence. It's part of the melody. The rests in between the phrases are part of the melody. And what he basically said was, hey, you know, some of these jazz trumpeters, they try and throw as many notes as possible in those white spaces. And what he's saying in this quote is, I really feel that takes away from the focus of the melody itself. And I really like that in the context of Server Manager, because if we were to talk about the design of Server Manager, there's a whole bunch of design principle stuff where we're talking about, you know, increasing the white space in the design. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. Though if you want to talk about that, come find me later. I could talk for, you know, half a day about the way we had designed Server Manager. That was done inside of my team. But what we are going to talk about today is, how do we get the right focus inside of Server Manager? How do we get Server Manager and customize it to a point where you can really focus on what's important to you? How do we remove the noise, or how do we create the right white space? How do we get rid of the notes, or how do we get the right notes that we don't play, if you want to sort of get a little bit surreal there. Okay, so that's where that quote was coming from. This is just a slide which we use with Server Manager when we talk about Server Manager as a new tool. We talk about how design matters, how we must support scalability, because Server Manager is all about remote server management across multiple machines, as opposed to just managing each machine by itself. One of our design principles was this second sub-bullet there: glanceable, relevant, and actionable. What we're going to be talking most about today is the relevant part of that. So how do we make Server Manager, how do we make the dashboard, how do we make the data which gets loaded into that, and the way that it's organized relevant to what I want to do. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to skip the rest of this slide, but this is talking about sort of what Server Manager is about, how we have views which give you a view of the technology as it spans computers, how we have views of the computers as it spans technologies, which are the last couple of bullets. Before we do that, though, I want to close off this deployment discussion we've been having. Bunch of improvements in Server Manager 2012 around deployment. First of all, you would have noticed already that the role and feature wizards, which used to be separate wizards, have been combined into a single wizard. Also, if you go to Server Manager when it's running on a server box, you'll see that the initial server configuration has been designed into Server Manager itself. There's a local server page, which you see, which replaces what used to be the initial configuration task dialog. So all of that's been done. New deployment options, we already talked about feature on demand, reducing the footprint. So we're going to skip that for now. We added the ability to deploy a role and a feature to a VHD. This is new, and it's actually really powerful. If you think about virtualizing your environment, what you don't want to necessarily do all the time is if you have a VHD, why should you have to go and create a VM around that VHD, bring it up, and start it up as a server just to go deploy a role or feature to that VHD? You want to be able to prep that VHD with the roles and features which you want to use, because you might want to use that VHD multiple times. So we added this ability to be able to deploy to an offline VHD. And we're going to show you how to do that in just a sec. This next feature, deployment configuration templates. So as you go through the add role wizard inside a Server Manager and you make a set of choices, I want to deploy these two roles. I want, for the second role, I want these three of five role services for that role. I want then to add these sort of half a dozen supporting features, which increase the ability to do security or whatever it is. Okay, and you go through that wizard and you make a whole bunch of choices. What you can now do in Server Manager is you can sort of capture all of those choices you just made through that wizard off to a configuration file. Then you can go use that configuration file from PowerShell to deploy one or potentially multiple systems. Because inside of PowerShell, obviously, once you've got this ability, you can batch deploy and write a very simple script which is going to deploy that same configuration across multiple servers. Now, you could do that in PowerShell before, but each of those commands or that script would be very complicated because you would have to tell PowerShell one by one all of those roles, all of those settings, all of that sort of stuff. It is so much easier to do that in the wizard once with all of that nice graphical sort of this is what's important, this is what you want to focus on sort of support. Capture that off and then use that template to deploy to servers. So I'm going to show you how we do that. And then finally, I'll show you very quickly where the last one is. What this one's about, distributed deployments. This is something the RDS team did in 2012. If you think about Server Manager as a multi-server experience, and you apply multi-server management to a deploy process, then this is about how do I deploy a role which actually sits across multiple servers. So I don't know how many people here are RDS or have installed RDS in their environments, but RDS has, I think it's about half a dozen different role services, and although you can deploy them all on a single server, no one ever does that. They always deploy the broker service on one server, the license server goes somewhere else, and it gets deployed across at least two or three machines, right? Okay, so RDS team put together this nice single wizard which will take you through the deployment of RDS in a multi-machine configuration and do that all through a single process, which is really, really cool. You get to that through Server Manager. I'll show you where the entry point is to that, but I don't think that we're going to have time to go through that process itself. So let's have a look at a demo. Okay, so we're back to our client box here. This is Server Manager, so I've installed RSAT as part of this. I'm going to go to the Add Roles and Feature Wizard. Let's look at a couple of things. Hopefully you can see this fairly well. So the first thing I'm going to do is show you that RDS entry point. So this is the second screen in the wizard. You'll see that there's a role-based or feature-based installation, which is what you're used to. But then there's also a remote desktop services installation. And if you go into this, you get to choose how you deploy each of the components across different servers. So I could choose demo 2 for the connection broker, and then it's going to go figure out what it needs on that box to be able to do that. Then we get to the web access server. Maybe we put that on demo one. Okay, so you can sort of see that this gives you a nice way to deploy across multiple servers. I'm going to cancel out of that because I don't really want to deploy RDS on this demo environment. Let's go back in again. So this time I'm going to do the role or feature-based installation. And on this page, this is where you choose which remote server you want to deploy features to. You saw me go through this before. Instead here, I'm going to choose select a virtual hard disk. And you'll see that you get this following screen here. There's two things you need to do on this machine. At the bottom is the virtual hard disk, which you need to, that you want to deploy to. So it's just a VHD file. And then at the top, what you need to do for Server Manager to be able to deploy to the offline VHD, it needs to be able to mount it somewhere. So you need to give it the name of a server which can see the path to that VHD so we can mount the VHD and then deploy to it. Okay? Now, as we go do that deployment, there's a couple of roles which will then have some configuration which needs to be done when the machine first boots, so it sets all of that up for you. So it'll have a first run sort of action when you configure that VHD into a VM. When you fire up that VM, it'll go through those first install tasks for you. Okay, I'm going to go back to this one. I'm going to select my demo 3 machine here. Okay, so Server Manager there is going off to figure out what roles are already on that box. And let's say here I'm going to show you the configuration file stuff. So I'm just going to choose a couple of things here. Let's say I want to install remote access, which has a whole bunch of web IIS dependencies. Let's say I also want to add in message queuing. I'm going to leave those role services. In here for the IIS stuff, I'm going to say give me centralized SSL. Okay, so we get to the confirmation dialog. So this is telling you what you're about to install. So at this place here, I can go down the bottom and I can choose export configuration settings. What this is going to allow me to do, I'm going to overwrite a file that's there. Basically just file that off to a deployment file. And it's just an XML file. So let's save that, replace the one that's there. And I'm going to cancel out of this because I don't want to deploy it right now. Let's go into... I don't want to go here. No. Now I can't remember where actually to put that. No, I thought I put it on my desktop. I actually put it right here in the administrator account. Okay, so if we have a look at this, you'll see that it's just an XML file. And if you look through this XML file, you'll see that this will have all of those features, those roles defined in here, the settings which were supplied as part of that configuration process. And you can go copy this, you can go store a library of these so you can have different standard configurations to use on different boxes. Now, if we want to go to deploy that, let's go into PowerShell now. So we could have done that from Server Manager, but let's do it from inside of PowerShell. So now it'll be install Windows feature. We're going to install it to the one which I was just about to do. So computer main, server demo 3. Ah, 03. That might have been what I was doing wrong before. Configuration file path name. And there's my deployment file. Let's tell it to do a restart if it needs to. And that'll go off and deploy that server for me. And you can sort of stretch your imagination and see how easy it would be inside of PowerShell to write a very simple script which took a set of machine names and then did a batch deploy. And you could serialize that, you could parallelize that, either way you wanted. So that's a really powerful feature inside of the deployment inside of Server Manager. I'm going to leave that running. You'll trust me that actually works because we've got some other stuff to go through. Okay, so I want to talk about Server Manager and how to customize Server Manager to get the most out of it. Okay, so this is about the relevance. This is about getting the focus inside of Server Manager. I need to switch back to that guy there. So before we do that, I want to give you a really quick conceptual model of how Server Manager fits together. So down the bottom, we have a set of remote servers. This is your data center. And inside a Server Manager, what you do is you say, well, these are the set of servers which I want to manage for my Server Manager instance. It's probably going to be a subset of those because these are the ones you care about as an IT pro. And there's probably another IT pro in your organization who cares about the rest. Okay? The first thing Server Manager does, it'll go off to those servers and figure out what they are, what version of the OS they're running, what their architecture is, and what roles and features are currently installed on those systems. As soon as we do that, we create these conceptual groups inside of Server Manager. So there is a group which contains all of the servers in your server pool, and then it'll go and automatically create a group for each role that it finds inside of that server pool. Okay, so if you have ADDC installed on one of those machines, then there'll be a group for ADDC, and it'll have that server which has it installed in the group. If you have DHCP across three of those servers, it'll create a DHCP group and have those three servers in that group. Okay, so see how that works? Then for each of those groups, the UI in Server Manager sort of tags off this group concept. So over on the left-hand side, you're going to see a list, and there'll be an entry in there for each group that exists inside of Server Manager. And for that entry, there will be a link which will take you off to a detailed view of that group. Okay, so you'll have one there for ADDC. You'll have one there for, what was the other one I said? DHCP. And then there'll be a detailed view for all servers as well. Also in the dashboard for Server Manager, which has all of those thumbnail tiles, for each group, there'll be a thumbnail tile on the dashboard. Once we set up that UI, then Server Manager goes off to that to all those servers and gets the data that's needed to populate those views. So for each of the role-focused things, it's going to get data which is specific to that role. So for the ADDC group, it'll go get a set of ADDS data to populate that detailed view. So each of those views is scoped to the sort of data that's relevant for based on that group type. Okay, so all of that's good. That's what happens automatically inside of Server Manager. When we talk about customization, what we're really talking about here is the ability for you to create custom groups. That's all it is. It's not complicated. Okay, so you can go and create a group inside of Server Manager for whatever purpose you want. Okay, it could be these are all my test servers. It could be these are the servers that house the file shares for all my execs, and if they go down, I'm going to be out of a job. Or it could be, hey, this is for a particular application which is spread across these servers. Okay, whatever makes sense to you. Create a group for that. Server Manager will create a detailed view for that group. It'll create a dashboard tile for that group. And then what you can go in and do is customize Server Manager to set that up the way that's useful for you to look at. So each group has this sort of taxonomy. It has a set of servers which are in it. It has a data query which is used to populate the views for that server or for that group of servers. And that's basically a set of data. What data sets do you want to go get? So if we're talking about events, for example, it would be what event logs are you interested in for this group? What's the query you want to do on that? Do you want just the severe or the critical events? Do you want all the way down to informational or verbose events? And then also you get to define what is the filter which I use to filter what goes to the dashboard as an alert. Okay, so that's the way this is set up. So let's have a look at that. Keep forgetting to change screens. And it's not. Okay. Oh, it did. Excuse me. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into the Manage menu. I'm going to say, let's create a custom server group. Very, very simple. Let's call this TechEd Demo Group. And I can add multiple machines into this group, but let's just say I've got Server Demo 3, which is that one which we just installed. So let's say we're going to go have a look at that. Hopefully it's restarted and all ready to go. So you'll see over here we now have a link to a detailed view for that group. And in fact, if we go to the dashboard, there will now be a dashboard tile for that group. We're going to come back and have a look at that. There it is right there. So I'm just going to, for now, play with the events. So what we can do here is we can say, for this group, I want to configure the event data. So what do I want here? Well, let's say I want 12 hours worth of data at a time in this group. I want to get all the way down to informational events. And let's say that this machine, I'm trying to debug some sort of deployment issue. So let's go down and get the DISM logs, for example. So let's add the logs which I'm interested in getting events from. Oops. That wasn't good. Now I can't see what I've done. Yeah, that'll do. Let's do that. Okay, so now I've just configured the set of data which I'm interested in for this group. So I've defined the data query which I'm going to go do. Okay? And you'll see that's gone and pulled back this sort of set of events there. So this is now a custom data for the group which I set up. If I go up to the dashboard now, what I can do is I can say, for events, what am I interested in showing as an alert? Let's say that I'm interested in showing critical and errors at alerts. So on my dashboard for this group, I'm now going to get a nice red tile whenever I have critical or error events. Okay, but let's also say that, wow, I look at these and I know that these WMI issues aren't necessary, so I can, again, try and fine-tune that some more, take away the noise, the stuff which isn't relevant to me, and just focus on the stuff which I want to focus on. So here I can say, I want to remove event 24, and it'll remove those from the thing. I've still got some errors here, obviously, to go look at. Save that as the dashboard query, and now I've set up my dashboard tile to be relevant to me. Okay? And you can do this across, you know, whatever grouping makes sense for you. To customize Server Manager so it gives you the view of your environment that's useful to you as an administrator. Okay. So a few of you are probably wondering, okay, but if I go do that, and I do that and I create 20, 30 of these groups to make it work the way I want to work, aren't there some implications of that? So for Server Manager to be useful, there's a couple of things I need to be able to understand. I need to, one, make sure that I have confidence in the data which I'm seeing. And for most people, that means, well, I want to get it as close to real time as possible. But then if I do that, aren't there going to be implications to the amount of data flowing across my network? Or the tax on the servers? Do I really want that? So how do I understand that equation? So let's have a look at what's happening under the covers in Server Manager. First thing is, because we just asked for, 12 hours of data, all the way down to informational, that first request for Server Manager is going to go down and pull back a fairly large amount of data, right? But after that, every time Server Manager goes out to that server, it's only going to pull back new data. So it's going to do this incremental. So already the incremental data or the data from every point after that is going to be very small sets of data. So that's goodness. That means that we can scale a little bit better across those groups. Second thing I have control over here is the interval at which I go poll. Okay? So I can go change the refresh interval. By default, it's every 10 minutes inside a Server Manager. Okay? But you can go change that. You can tweak that. Underneath the covers for us, wherever we have data which we know is relatively static, and here I'm talking about, for example, the roles and features which are installed on the box, that inventory data, then we have the appropriate caching so that every time we're going out to that system, we're not incurring a tax to go re-query that from DISM or CBS or whatever. Okay, so we do provider-side caching. And then what we do is, if you have multiple groups which then are asking for overlapping data across multiple machines or across a machine, we do some optimization of that. Effectively, we're going to do dedupe on that. We're going to remove the duplication. So very, very quickly, because we're running out of time, what this looks like is this. Say I have an all servers query which is going to pull critical error warning events over 24 hours out of those three logs across all the servers in my Server Manager. Okay, so for server demo one, we're going to have a query which is going to get 24 hours worth of data from those critical error warning from those three logs. Then we have a role, okay, and the role is installed on server demo 1, server demo 3. And it's looking for higher levels of data, critical error warning of informational from the event log, 12 hours worth, and a bunch of logs which are defined by the role, wherever they are. They're not the other ones. Okay, so here we're just going to have two queries which go in parallel. There's no overlap here. Now let's add our custom group. Okay, so our custom group is going to ask for critical and error events. It's going to ask for 3 days' worth. Okay, and it's going to ask for that across the application log, which we already had all servers, and then app log A and app log B. And you'll see over on the right-hand side, as we go through that, server manager has figured out that, wow, that 24 hours worth of critical error from the application log, I've already got that from the 3-day query above, which came from the custom group. So I'm not going to get that again, but I do need to add in getting that specifically for the warning log. So it's effectively done the set resolution, right, and figured out what's the set of stuff you want to do. So with this, what you can do is as you're creating custom groups in your server manager environment, you can feel sort of confident that we're doing the right things underneath to not be getting a whole bunch of duplicate data. And it's not perfect, but it's pretty close. Okay. One other thing I wanted to show you, personalizing your experience inside a server manager. Let's do the second one first. Server Manager, if you want to use Server Manager across devices, there's really two persistence files in Server Manager. One is the list of servers which you have, serverlist.xml. This is in your roaming profile, so this one will move with you. So if you're logging in from another device, you'll get the same set of servers and the groups of those servers on your other device inside of Server Manager. The other file is in your local profile. This is all of the user configuration settings. This is your layout choices and then some of the custom queries which you might create. The layout preferences, we didn't want to roam because as you move between different devices, you might have different screen sizes, different device types, and it just didn't seem to make sense for us to roam those, so they're just local settings. However, you can go copy that file and copy it around, okay, if you want to duplicate the environment. So I'm not going to show you where that stuff is, but you can go find that inside of the profile areas. Using Server Manager's central portal. When we did Server Manager, we really wanted Server Manager to be the place where you can actually start any task from. So one of the things we did, and I'm going to switch back to the demo environment here. There we go. Is there's this tools menu up the top, which has a whole bunch of stuff in it. Okay, all the tools, the MMC tools, all that sort of stuff that you need to find. You want to be able to do that from inside of Server Manager. But this is sort of a long list, right? So underneath the scenes, what Server Manager is doing is it's really just reading what's in the administrative tools folder. Okay, so the old administrative tools that you used to get through the start menu, okay, that folder which had all of these soft links in to all of your MMC tools, that's the folder which we're reading here. What that means is if you go and change what's in that folder, if you put your own tools in there, if you reorganize the tools in that folder, it'll reflect in this menu. So let's have a look at that. So you'll notice here that I have, well, let's have a look at the administrative tools folder. And I've added a couple of things here, these three at the top. I've added a link off to a remote desktop session for my domain controller in my demo environment in case I want to RDP into that session. I've created then these two PowerShell scripts, one which is going to go organize those tools for me in this folder, and the other one which will restore it back to this state. Okay, so that's already there. If we look at these guys, they're just shortcut links, okay? And because I've set up the PS1 extension type to automatically launch PowerShell ISE, I don't have to do anything else in here for it to do something good for me. So let's go back to Server Manager, and let's find that organize, where is it? Admin tools. What this is going to do is it's going to open up that script for me inside of the ISE. And you'll see that this script, all it's really doing is changing directory to the admin tools folder and then making a bunch of subdirectories and moving stuff around. Really, really simple. Okay, so now that we're in the ISE, let's run that. If we go back to Server Manager, you'll see that it's now reorganized that directory for me, put everything in a nice, simple way. Okay, so that's cool to start. You'll also see that underneath here I have a remote desktop subdirectory, and there's my RDP thing. So right from inside a Server Manager now, I can do stuff which I want to have quick access to and put it right inside of my box, and here I can RDP into my domain controller in my demo environment. And of course, I can go back in here and do the reverse. If I can remember where I put it, under there, It was called Restore. Yeah, I can't see it there. I'm sure it's there somewhere. But I can then go and restore that stuff and it'll put it back into the original form. Okay, so inside of Server Manager, there's this ability to customize it to be a launch point for what you want to do. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds. Oh, no, we've gone over. Okay, a couple of other things which are inside this deck. If I switch back to it. There's a section in here which is talking about troubleshooting manageability states. Manageability inside a Server Manager is effectively, can I get to the machine? Can I get to this server to get information to tell me what state it's in? Okay, it's sort of like a ping on steroids. Okay, if you can't ping it, then everything else inside a Server Manager isn't going to be relevant. So that's what it is. If you're working in like a work group scenario, it can be really hard to debug how to go do that if you don't know what's happening. There's basically three things happening. You'll get manageability states, which are telling you there's something wrong on the client side, which are typically authentication type issues. Okay, stuff around the remote access or the network pipe, which are things like DNS resolutions and stuff like that, whether the provider, the WinRM connection or port on the other end is open. Okay, so do I have network connectivity? And then on the server side, it's about the data which you're getting. Am I getting data from the event log? Am I not getting performance data? That sort of set of areas. In the deck, there's a bunch of slides that talk about those. There's also a really good link in the resources slide off to a drill down on how to think about setting up Server Manager to manage workgroup, and also those same set of rules will help you manage servers which are IIS servers in Azure, if you want to go do that from inside of Server Manager. So I'm going to slip through those quickly. Very quick recap. So we've been talking about this less is more idea. Does anyone know what Mr. Clarkson is referring to in this quote, by any chance? The Ariel Atom, yes. So if you haven't seen this video, go YouTube it afterwards, but it's the perfect metaphor for what we've been talking about all day, which is less is more. The Ariel Atom is this cut-down car. It's super powerful. It's got this exoskeleton design, and it's basically taken away everything out of the car which isn't really necessary to get a great driving experience, just left the core stuff in and made it really, really suited to provide a great driving experience. And it's a hilarious video. You should go watch it. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about how do we get server down to a point where it's doing what its main job is supposed to be, which is serving up workloads. How do we take off the stuff which isn't necessary to improve the experience? Okay? And then how do we manage that sort of environment from inside a Server Manager? This is the list of resources which I was talking about. There's a bunch of stuff here. Go find it. This is in the deck which can be posted on the session thing. Track resources, blah, blah, blah. We've been talking about less is more all day. The one place where maybe I would like to sort of suggest difference is when it comes to evals. More is more when it comes to evals. Please give us your evals. I'd love to know sort of what you thought of the sessions, where it was useful for you, where you think we can improve it. We're going to go do that in TechEd Europe. So you know, you can benefit the Europeans by giving us your feedback now. Thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed the day.